Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to sift through sources, find those key insights, and help you get up to speed fast. Today, we're doing something pretty unique. Our source isn't, you know, a polished paper or some neat article. No, we are diving headfirst into the, well, the raw, unfiltered chaos of an internet forum thread, a proper grub edition. So, our mission: navigate this chaotic but honestly fascinating snapshot of online talk. We're going to try and pull out the surprising bits, the debates, the cultural moments that kind of show how these online communities really tick. Think of it like finding hidden gems in this huge, messy, ongoing digital conversation.
Yeah, and you know, these threads, they're gold mines in a way. They give you this really unvarnished look into subcultures. You see how people passionately connect over shared stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, it gets informal, full of in-jokes, sometimes pretty contentious. But that's exactly where you find the real aha moments. It gives you a feel for the collective mood, like right now.
Okay, so let's unpack this unfiltered landscape. The source is, well, it started as a general discussion thread for the webcomic Homestuck. But you know how these things go. It quickly spins off into loads of different topics. It's got numbered posts, tons of embedded images, and this really like rapid fire conversational feel.
And what's really interesting is how these Grub Edition threads work. They're almost like a communal live stream train of thought. You see instant reactions, opinions changing post by post. Yeah, loads of slang and inside jokes. Like they reference I Omao Edition 5, that weird recurring meme.
Oh, yeah.
Or people copying Solix's typing quirk, you know, with the two instead of two or two.
Right, the character mannerism.
Exactly. It's this raw format, super quick, totally uncurated flow of ideas. It really catches the spontaneous mood of the moment, even if it's messy.
Speaking of messy, the core of this thread, it seems, pretty quickly got into some intense discussions about Homestuck itself and the creator, Andrew Hussey. What really jumped out there?
Well, a big focus was on character dynamics.
Mm.
And what people saw as missed opportunities. One person really like zeroes in on Tavros.
Mm.
You know, the character sometimes seen as passive, maybe limp-wrist was the term used.
Mm.
And they were lamenting that he should have had more friends, specifically mentioning Fifori, Eridan, Equius. The feeling was that Hussey's writing kind of left relationships ambiguous or needlessly splintered, as they put it.
So fandom speculation filled the gaps.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It suggests that became a key part of the experience because the comic itself didn't fully explore those connections.
Okay. And then there was this big point of conflict, the Exiles controversy,
yeah.
This group of characters in Homestuck.
Yeah, exactly. PM, Peregrine Mendicant.
Yeah.
Participants in the thread described her as a boring, liking personality. Basically, seen as just a plot device.
Ouch.
Yeah. And they contrasted that sharply with other Exiles like WV, Wayward Vagabond, or AR, Archangel. Apparently,
yeah,
they had more played with interests, deeper backstories, that kind of thing.
Right.
So the overall vibe in the thread was that the Exile stuff was, well, awful, and actually contributed to the comic's decline, in their view.
Wow, strong opinions.
Definitely. And it goes beyond just characters. They also critique Andrew Hussey's writing process overall. Some called it schizophrenic, suggesting there wasn't much planning or notes for the story.
Like just making it up as he went along.
That was the perception, yeah. And there's even this debate about when things went wrong. Did the trolls ruin the comic? Or was it, as some argued, ruined before the trolls even showed up?
So a real split in the fandom about the story's direction.
Absolutely. It highlights these fundamental disagreements.
And this is where the conversation took a, well, a pretty sharp and controversial turn, wasn't it?
Yeah.
About the portrayal of female characters.
Yeah, it did. And look, it's really important we frame this correctly. We're reporting what was in the thread,
okay,
not endorsing it. So one viewpoint expressed was that male authors, including Hussey, sometimes struggle with writing female characters. And this perspective argued that attempts to create empowering female characters could sometimes result in characters perceived as, well, the term they used was quite harsh, suggesting deeply flawed or malicious traits.
And they cited Vriska's abuse of Tavros as the example.
Exactly. Again, this is the viewpoint and the strong language from the thread.
Okay. Yeah. It's crucial for you listening to understand we're showing the kinds of discussions and sometimes the inflammatory talk that happens in these online spaces.
Right. It really underlines how passionate and, let's be honest, highly subjective these fan interpretations and critiques can be.
Mm.
The thread also dips into fan-created content like Homestuck, Beyond Canon. People were critiquing its prose.
Ah, okay.
And then there's this wider debate about characters evolving and fan interpretations, the whole Twitter police thing.
What's that about?
It's about aging up characters in fan art. You've got the once a minor, always a minor argument, clashing with the idea that characters do age in sequels, like in Homestuck 2. One person argued, look, it's understandable to age them up for certain themes, but hey, they aren't kids anymore in the sequel, so why oppose natural aging?
Interesting distinction. So beyond Homestuck itself, this thread kind of branched out, right? Gave glimpses into broader internet culture.
Oh, absolutely. It really shows the eclectic mix of interests you find in these places.
What stood out?
Well, the live blogging thing was pretty prominent. You had multiple people doing live rewatches of shows like Epic Universe on Tumblr and inviting others to follow along.
Ah, making it communal.
Exactly. It turns watching something alone into this shared interactive thing. Very online.
We also got the very specific story about Nuzlocke challenges in gaming.
Yeah, that was cool. Someone described their Pokemon Roam Hack Nuzlocke run failing because some random NPC attacked him in supposedly neutral territory.
A Roam Hack being like a fan-modified game.
Right. And Nuzlocke has these super strict self-imposed rules. Like if a Pokemon faints, it's gone for good. The Iron Man rules subculture.
Adds high stakes.
Totally. Yeah. It creates these unique little stories of triumph and, well, unexpected failure.
And then there was that humorous but kind of critical take on Deltarune character design.
Oh, yeah. Someone was lamenting that a lot of the characters felt, well, fat. They listed Spamton the TV guy, Rukard, King, Queen, even Sansriel.
Wow, quite a list.
And they felt alienated as a self-described skinny sexual fan.
Oh.
Which, okay, is a niche term, but it shows how even design choices spark these really personal debates in fandoms.
From game design to real world stuff, yeah. The thread moved into self-improvement challenges.
You did, yeah.
Yeah.
Specifically a no porn August challenge.
Yeah.
And they listed all the rules. No alcohol, specific amounts of eggs and water daily, sleep goals, steps, push-ups, daily writing, gratitude journaling.
Sounds intense.
It does. And the reactions were all over the map. Some were dismissive, you know, calling it gay as shit again, their words. But others saw it as a positive thing, like a step one for getting in touch with yourself.
Mm.
And one person mentioned the Waluigi effect.
No.
The Waluigi effect.
Yeah.
Where focusing on gratitude actually made them dwell on negative stuff instead, which is kind of relatable, actually, that paradoxical thing.
Huh. Never heard it called that. Okay. And then things got weird with Smurfology.
Oh, yeah. Pure internet absurdity, but fascinating in its own way. A lighthearted but bizarre discussion about Smurf biology. Are they asexual? Do they have genitals?
Oh, boy.
With some frankly disturbing and funny theories thrown out, like maybe they're dead children whose genitals snapped off in the cold.
Okay, wow, that's something.
It totally embodies the weirdness of these threads, right?
Yeah, right, good.
Applying this intense, almost academic focus to something completely absurd. It's that internet playfulness.
Definitely a unique brand of humor. But then the tone shifted again pretty dramatically with the Watchmen debate. That got really heated.
Oh, absolutely. This section really shows the raw, sometimes nasty side of online debate. Intense passion, strong language.
So what were the main sides?
Okay, one side argued Alan Moore's Watchmen started this hideous, god-awful, and morally bankrupt cliche of superhero deconstruction. They claimed it came from Moore's personal dislike of characters like Steve Ditko's Mr. A, who inspired Rorschach.
So the argument is Moore's work destroys heroism.
Essentially, yeah. And that it's less enduring than well-written heroes. They even claimed nobody reads Watchmen more than once.
Strong claim. What was the counter-argument?
The other side fiercely disagreed. They argued the comic is actually sympathetic to Rorschach, showing his death tragically. They felt the critics just didn't get the nuances, the broader deconstructions beyond simple anti-hero stuff.
Right.
This side emphasized more critiques the status quo and argued he isn't aligned with, quote, neoliberal ideals, that term popping up in the debate referring to certain political or economic views.
And this got pretty vitriolic, you said.
Extremely. Participants used really strong inflammatory language to attack each other's points, like really dismissive and aggressive terms.
Okay, so again, just to be crystal clear for everyone listening, we're presenting these viewpoints as they appeared in the source thread. The language, the political stances, that's all from the participants, not us.
Precisely. It's a stark example of how passionate and, frankly, how politically charged these media debates can become online.
Moving beyond specific media, there were also some broader philosophical thoughts on society.
Yeah, a bit of that crept in. One participant was kind of lamenting the state of the world, calling it garbage. They blamed globalization and modern nation states for losing a sense of personhood. Yeah, contrasting it with the past, where maybe ignorance allowed for more utopian thinking. Now, they argued, knowing what's happening everywhere, first class, middle class, lower class, first world, third world, reveals it's all terrible for personhood.
So a kind of pessimism fueled by information overload.
That seems to be the gist. A disillusionment with the modern globalized world.
And finally, there was some news about the old MSPA forums, Homestuck's original platform.
Right at the end, yeah. News that Andrew Hussey outsourced the forums to fans. Gave them merchandising rights, too.
Sounds like a win for the community.
Well, the reaction to the thread was pretty sarcastic. One person called it a backward step or a new low.
What?
Specifically because of the mandatory sign-up fields. Pronouns, birthday, personal description.
Ah, so yeah. Seen as an imposition.
Exactly. It highlights that tension you sometimes see between, you know, community control and what feels like top-down rules or ideological demands in online spaces.
Wow. What a journey through that thread. Raw, unfiltered, definitely multifaceted. From deep fan theories and creator critiques to, yeah, philosophy and Smurf biology. A unique deep dive into human-ish discourse online.
Absolutely. And diving into these raw conversations, messy as they are, controversial as they get, it gives you these really unique insights. You see the subcultures, the passion people have for creative stuff, how digital identity and conversation keeps changing. It's a good reminder that even in these informal corners of the internet, some really significant cultural, even philosophical debates are happening, often with, you know, an intensity you might not expect.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? What kinds of hidden stories, what unexpected insights might we find if we did this kind of deep dive into the most informal parts of our own digital lives?